The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Josh.
And we're from Central Florida.
And we love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 307 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is a newbie, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, newbie.
I don't think I'm a newbie.
You're a newbie.
Oh.
Yeah.
A newbie to
episode 307.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to call you Mike anymore. I'm going to call you Fast Mike.
Fast Mike.
Because you're getting out there, you're training, and you're getting faster, right?
It's amazing when you go through any kind of surgery. It's kind of scary at first. You don't want to push yourself, and then you say, well, maybe I can do a little bit more, and we'll see what happens.
It's a great point, because I think in your head, you think you're still where you were, maybe when you ran your last race.
Yeah.
So mentally, you're like, I should be able to do faster and longer. And
well, I think it's good to push yourself, but you also have to be aware of when your body says, all right, that's it. And my body said, okay, Mike, we'll let you go a little bit better, a little bit faster. And then all of a sudden, I heard yesterday, my body saying, okay, let's wait till next week before you do this. So.
And you did it all without knocking over any bike riders who are whizzing by.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started with the bikers.
Sorry. Sore spot. All right.
I got to tell a story.
Okay. So our guest is going to be nodding off to sleep.
Before we introduce our very special guest. So Michelle and I are getting ready. We walk 5 minutes before we get into our run. We ran about 10 or 6 to 7 miles yesterday. And so we're walking, and Michelle, I think you had your music on, so you couldn't hear. I didn't have my music loud. And all of a sudden, we heard a biker behind us, on your right. Now, we were all the way over to the left, to the right. And she said, on your right, and then she passed us on our left.
So
I said to her, you meant on our left. And she said, oh, yes, I'm sorry. So I said to Michelle, what if we thought she was telling the truth, and we had moved over to the left? So bikers, beware. All right, let's get to our special guest.
No, I have a shout-out.
Oh, good.
All right, so our shout-out is to a Mickey Miler. His name is Corey McPherson, and Corey not only did a show opening for us last week, he also reported that he ran his longest run, which is 8 miles, and you and I both know how exciting that is when you hit a milestone, a running milestone. And Tim Tostin, I'll give another one, also ran, I think he ran 21 or 24
Whoa,
miles this week.
Tim.
Yeah, so he's awesome. Training for Marine Corps. So
Tim is training for Marine Corps.
Yep.
Awesome, Tim.
So I love it. Whether it's 2 miles or 8 miles or 24 miles, it's so exciting when you say, people say a year ago, I don't think I could have run 1 mile, and now I'm running 8 miles. So
You don't know what you don't know until you know.
So great, Corey. We look forward to seeing more of your training.
Awesome. We need to do some questions, and so we decided that we needed to bring on the only person who we could depend upon to have answers if we could not come up with answers. So we are really, really excited that we have with us on the show today.
It's been far too long.
The new host of the Marathon Show version 2.0, Eddie McCoy. Eddie, welcome to the show to help us answer these questions.
Thanks. Finally a question show. I'm finally on a question show. I've made it now. Made it to the mountaintop.
Oh, yeah. We should have thought of this years ago.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, is it the marathon show or the marathon show? Have I been saying it the wrong way?
I don't know. I'm going to wait until I hear the first
episode. The
official episode. Of
it
the
might
new
be out today.
It is the marathon show.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, this is going to disintegrate.
Ladies first with the first question.
All right, so the first question is from our buddy John Thompson, and he says, hey guys, as always, love the show. Thank you, John. In a recent WDW Today, what's that? Is that another podcast? Okay. In a recent WDW Today, Mike mentioned how the backstage passage is now dressed to be on stage. Is this an area that could be used for races? Would this be a good thing? Eddie, have you been there to the new exit out of the Magic Kingdom where you don't go down Main Street, you go to the back where you used to be able to go, but now it's
naked. I mean, I know the exit, but I haven't been since it's been dressed up.
Yeah, so Mike, why don't you tell?
Yeah, so Eddie, you know when we do the basic half marathon and marathon course that goes through the Magic Kingdom, we come in the Magic Kingdom off stage, and then we come out between the Chapeau. Is it the Chapeau?
No.
The Chapeau and Tony's, and then we turn right and we go up Main Street. Prior to doing that, we'll come out of that area before we hit Main Street. If you look to your right, that's backstage behind the right side of Main Street. What they have is they have hard-topped that. They have put all kinds of trees and bushes, fences. It's a beautiful walkway with lights. They apparently were using that this summer when there was an excess of crowds in the park, and what that allows at the end of the night, they open up that area, which is just between the Tomorrowland Terrace and the Plaza Restaurant, yeah. And you can go there. It's an easy, quick way of getting out of there, and it alleviates a lot of the crowds on Main Street. So what John is asking is that would they use that for a part of a race? And from my opinion, guys, I don't think that you can replace running up Main Street USA.
Yeah. I just want to clarify for people who, or maybe just ask a question. So in the past, I've sometimes been let out that back way, yep. And it wasn't dressed up, but it's only a one-way type of thing. So you're only coming from, you know, Tomorrowland area. That's an option of getting out of the park. But I've never seen people go in the park that way.
No, I think that when we saw it that night, Michelle, we were walking out of the park, but there were people coming in too. I think it was extra magic hours.
Oh, okay.
But I think that you're right, though. I think that it's open only during the very late nighttime hours, and I think my guess is that it's open during parade. As soon as the first parade is ready to roll, I think that they open that area for people who want to get out, and it won't interfere with the parade.
Eddie, what do you think? Would you think that would be good for races?
As the current configuration is of that park now, no way. Because if you know where that entrance goes into, it goes where the Terrence, the Tomorrow Terrace.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where the noodle station is.
Where the noodle station is, mm-hmm. And you have the plaza, and that's a very narrow area. So you'd have to come in. You came in that way. You'd have to either take a hard left or a hard right, and I don't think that supports with the thousands of people running.
Yeah, it would be like a 90-degree turn.
There's just no way to do that.
Yeah.
The only way they could ever use that, in my opinion, would be if they complete the walkway from the to the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom. And if they did something to that noodle station where you could go in that way and then run down Main Street and out the park that way.
Interesting.
But the way it is right now, no way.
You'd have to go through a recertification too.
They're good at doing it now, and they're good at hiding them. So I heard you mention on the other show, can't find them right now.
You're always the guy who finds them.
Oh yeah.
So I have to agree with Mike here. I think that when I read John's email, I thought a few years ago when Mike, you, and Eve and I tried to work out a 5K.
Oh my god.
And maybe adding a little distance, it really is only the length of Main Street from the Chapeau to the Plaza. So what is that? I mean, at the very most, an eighth of a mile? Maybe not even that.
I
don't think it would add a lot. But I think the most important point, Mike, is what you said is one of the selling points of these races, and you hear people talking about it as you're running down Main Street. I'm running down Main Street. Hundreds of people stop to get their picture taken. If you use that to bypass Main Street, the race would be like, I don't know.
I'm sure that was put in place for anything but Disney.
It's a great
purposes.
Question.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
All right, our next question comes from Gerard, who says...
We have a lot of questions.
Three questions. I think I'll ask one at a time, and we'll address each one. Yeah, Gerard says, thanks for all the help I get from your podcast. I just started running last year, and will be doing my first Run Disney Half Marathon in January. I have a few questions. All right, guys, first question. Number one, do they usually offer discounted park tickets for participants? If so, how does that work? Eddie?
You know, I've had an annual pass for so long. I know back when I first started running around Disney, they did. But if I understand correctly, I think they've gotten away from that.
I believe you're correct.
I believe you're correct, too. I think that the last time I remember, maybe 2 years ago, I saw something about that. But if that's going to happen, it will be on the Run Disney site. But I haven't seen it happen for a while.
No.
Yeah.
No. I think things are tightening up, you might say. All right, question number two. I'd like to know in advance when I am going to be facing a hill. Are there any steep segments of the half marathon course? Michelle?
Well, I guess it depends on your definition of steep.
Yeah.
So Eddie and I ran Boston, and I don't know. So, Gerard, I'm going to assume you're a Walt Disney World veteran. And so I want you to think about the off-ramps and the on-ramps that get you to and from Epcot. And so, you know, those are pretty much almost 360 degree curly cues. And you have a few of those, not too many. Those sort of bank in, and a lot of people move to the inside. For me, that's the time I go to the outside. So I don't think you have to do a lot of hill work for that. I wouldn't rule it out, and it's not a bad thing to do. And then also when you're just about to approach Epcot, I think we're talking about mile 11 or 12, there's another gradual on-ramp and off-ramp. But that's about it as far as I can recall. I would do a little bit of training, but I would not call this a hilly course by any stretch of the imagination. Eddie?
No, it's not a hilly course. There's three hills on there. And the steepest hill is at mile 5, actually, as you're going to the Contemporary, where you go under the river. So,
forgot about that one. Yeah,
yeah, that's probably the steepest incline. It's short, but it's steep.
It's steep up and steep down.
Yes. Yeah. So you have to be careful. Do not, if you're in a crowd, do not push it. Just go with the flow there, because you can easily trip and fall. And if you go down, you're going to take other people down with you.
And yeah, that's a very good point. There are they're gutters that sort of incline down. They have a little incline. Yeah. And then there are sidewalks that people, there's one sidewalk that people run on. My strategy for that is to stay completely to the right. I run down and then I run walk up, but I want to stay. I've seen people many times trip or sprain an ankle going into that gully.
Don't go there.
And I've seen people kind of pushing each other off the sidewalk, or it's not a place that you should pass. So I go all the way over to the right. Mike?
Yeah,
I think Eddie mentions that. Yeah, I mentioned that. Go down and under and up near the Contemporary. I agree with both of you. I don't think there are hills. I mean, there are the three ones that Eddie was alluding to towards the end, right around, I think it's mile 9.5, maybe 11.5, and maybe 12.
It's 5, 10, and 12 right now.
Yeah, and the killer for a lot of people is the overpass before we get into
that's the hardest one.
That's the hardest one. I just looked
at it. Because it's late in the race and you're tired.
Yeah, especially if you're not pacing yourself. One of the other things that I've noticed this race, I've been running it since 2006 or whatever, is that there are very subtle inclines that you don't notice. And even during the race, you don't notice it until afterwards you think about it. Like, I know that during the first 3 to 4 miles, there are some subtle inclines. As we go over, we go on top of overpasses and stuff like that, but they're very, very subtle. If they were at the end of the race, we may not think of them as being very subtle. And the other thing is that when you get into Epcot and when you turn to, you get to Spaceship Earth and you turn right, that's a little bit of an incline that you don't realize until you've run about 12 or 13 miles. Michelle?
I want to mention two more things. The first is that it's kind of fun when you get to mile 10, and something to look forward to, Gerard, is there usually is, I think every time I've run it, there has been a Green Army man up there.
Oh my God.
And encouraging people to run, and you can stop and get your picture taken there. He's by himself. And then after you conquer that hill, you're up on top of the overpass, and you can look down and see how many people are running the race, which is, I think, always spectacular. You get a really good view of the field of runners who are around you. So it's kind of fun.
Yes, I have a little problem with that green soldier. I had it with him at reunion last year, but I'll let that go for those
people
of you
are gonna
who
are going to think it's something serious.
Yeah. Okay. I have one more question from Gerard for you guys to answer, because I don't think I can answer it. Eddie, I'm going to have you answer this first. On a different note, when you get that dreaded black toenail, how should you treat it, and is it okay to keep running? What do you think, Eddie?
Well, if I stopped running with black toenails, I would have stopped running a long time ago. So the key is they happen, and the key is I don't stop running. I mean, you can't do anything about it. You just have to let it run its course. When that toenail hurts, it's not going to hurt you any worse than anything else. The key is, having properly sized shoes to begin with. Mm-hmm. So if you're consistently getting black toenails in regular runs, then the odds are you probably are wearing a shoe that's a little too tight. I typically only get them when I run very long or in marathons, on a very long race. So it happens, but not as frequently, but it does happen.
So I agree with everything that Eddie said. I've run 5 marathons, and 3 of those marathons I've lost toenails. And I think everybody's a little bit different. For me, it's been 3 different toenails. But I think everybody's different in how it feels too. Sometimes I've had to tape it up just because it feels so icky. Some people, I'm going to make it really real here. Some people decide to puncture them or take them off or go to a podiatrist who offered to take mine off. I just let the new toenail grow underneath it, and then they each just popped off. But I also want to underscore something that Eddie said. I run in a size, I wear a size 8.5 shoe, and I was running in a 9.5 sneaker, which for my Asics was perfectly fine. And it occurred to me, and I think Eddie, you and I had a discussion about this, at last year's Disneyland half marathon, I actually went up to a 10 and tried an even bigger shoe, because what happens when you run long distances is your feet swell. And so Asics is a smaller shoe to start with. And that has made the difference. So when I ran Boston this year and any other time I've done a long distance, I've moved up to the 10, and it's made a huge, huge distance, a huge, huge difference for me. So I think that's an excellent suggestion from Eddie.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the shoe size. I think that, Gerard, what you may want to do is, if you are thinking about, worried about that, you may want to consider increasing the size, the shoe size, and also play it safe and don't wear thick socks. Because if you buy a bigger size shoe and you end up getting thick socks, then you're kind of defeating the purpose. Try to get thin wicking socks, and you should have no problems.
Any other suggestions, Eddie?
No, those are good suggestions.
All right. So our next, it's really interesting this week. We have people with multiple questions. I think they saved them up. The next person who wrote a letter into us is John Maloney, and he says, "Greetings, Michelle and Mike. I hope your summer training has been going well, and thank you for your continued podcast and help for all of us Disney runners. I have 3 totally unrelated questions, if you have time to answer them. The first 2 are related to the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. Number 1, for those staying at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort, are there both buses and monorails from the Ticket and Transportation Center to get to the starting area, or is it just the monorail? If both are available, do you think one is better than the other?" Mike, I'm going to go to you, Mr. Resort King.
I am not sure about the buses. I'm not sure if they would be at the TTC or the Polynesian. My guess is that they would be at the Polynesian. But if I were to choose between the two, if I had a choice, I think I would go with the monorail, because the monorail will let you off a little bit closer to the starting area than the buses. Remember where the buses let you off, way on the other side of where the monorail is. So if I have a choice, John, I would go with the monorail.
So he's asking, are there, there's a monorail to get to, a bus to Epcot.
That I am not aware of.
Yeah, so I would just walk to the TTC and take the monorail to Epcot.
I've stayed at the Grand Floridian for the Princess half marathon, which is the same course as we run a marathon weekend, and they had no buses because of the course layout. So I'm going to have a feeling that the Grand Floridian didn't have a bus. I'm going to say the Poly didn't have a bus either, and we were forced to ride the monorail.
when you say forest steady, it sounds to me like you think that's a bad thing, because to me, my preference would be the monorail.
Yes, that would have been my preference, except I waited on a bus stop for 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I was for it. I didn't realize the monorails, to be honest with you. I didn't realize they ran the inner resort monorail. I thought it was only from the TTC and back.
Okay.
It was miscommunication. I misread it, but they definitely ride. They do the resort loop monorail and the Epcot monorail.
Okay, so this is a great question then, John. So if you get on the Poly monorail, you have to go to the Magic Kingdom, to the Contemporary, and then the TTC. But if you just walk over, it's just a 10-minute walk.
Yeah, do not catch the Poly monorail. Just walk over to the TTC.
Okay, yeah.
That'd be my advice.
Yeah.
Because the monorail resort, it was running, but it was slow.
Yeah. Gosh, that's the last thing you want. Okay, the second question is, from what I see, the 10K doesn't require proof of time for corral placement. If that's true, how are corrals assigned? Eddie?
Well, they are assigned first based off of those that did submit time. And then everything else gets filled behind.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
I agree.
And then we have a lot of people who are doing the multiple races too, and they would have had to submit a time. All right. And the last question is related to fall training. I'm running a half marathon 3 months from now. I'm running a half marathon 3 months in a row from September through November. Sounds like you, Mike. Do you have any tips for training in short time frames between races? Is it important to get 13 or 14 miles one weekend in the middle of the gap between races? Thanks so much for your patience with all these questions. I wish you many years to come with the podcast. And that's John Maloney from Hershey and Palmyra, Pennsylvania. Mike, so you're going to be doing this. What's your plan?
Well, I remember hearing Jeff on one podcast that might have been on the Marathon Show talking about what you retain over a period of time. And if you are, I'm trying to remember now, I think that for a half marathon training level, you can maintain that level for 2 weeks without running. So in other words, if you did a half marathon today and you did no running for 2 weeks, you should be able to do one in 3 weeks. For a marathon, your level of training drops off significantly after the fourth week. So having said that, I don't think, you know, for half marathons, I don't think you have to do 13 or 14 miles. I would say if you can do 8 or 9, you know, every, you know, once a week, I think you'd be fine. Eddie?
I mean, if it was me, I'd look at your calendar between your races and pick the middle date that's in between each one of the races and make that a 10-mile run. And then I would do less than that after the marathon. I mean, after the half, I would do, you know, 7 to 8 miles. And then, you know, just depending on your time frame, just build it back up, you know, drop it back down, build it back up, drop it down as a taper, hit that, and just that's what I do.
Yeah, I think Eddie brings up a point that I was thinking of. It depends on when on the calendar these races are, you know. So if it's 2 weekends in September and then the first weekend in November, that's a long time between those two races. So if you look in the middle and you kind of, you know, maybe your last half marathon is September 12th, and then you taper it down and then start tapering it back up as you get closer to that November day. And I would, for me, I would, 2 weeks before, I would make sure that I do at least 10 miles, 11 miles before that.
Well, and what his question was, do you have to do 13, 14? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not to finish it. And I have to assume if you're running three halves in that period of time, these are not PR type races. So.
And that you're fit enough to do it without,
right.
Yeah, you have the stamina.
It's just running.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Michelle, so we're doing the New Hampshire half marathon on October 3rd and the BAA on October 11th. Should we do anything in between?
Well, I'm going to run during the week.
On day 4 in between, we'll run 10 miles. There we go.
If you just drink grapefruit beer and get all that fruit in between those races, you'll be fine.
Oh,
Eddie,
my goodness.
13 grams of protein in that beer. Just thought I'd
I'm
let
telling
you know.
It's the perfect hidden recovery drink.
Wow.
Well, Michelle, I think that's all we have for now. I know we have a lot more questions, but we have run out of time. And So we will get to questions next time around. And so we want to thank our friend, the new host of the Marathon Show, Eddie McCoy, for coming on board.
The Marathon
Show. The Marathon Show.
The Marathon Show.
Eddie McCoy!
Eddie, and thank you very much for coming on, and best of luck with the Marathon Show.
Thank you, Mike. I'll try to make you famous.
No, please. Please. The next step is infamous. Okay. And I also want to thank Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Mike, there's so many. I had so many choices for podcasts I could have been on this week, but this is the one I chose.
Thank you very
much.
I'm
very happy to be here.
And I'm sure that the questions that were sent in, you know, would not have been answered without the two of you here with me. So we thank you very much, and we want to encourage everybody out there to continue sending those questions in. If you have any questions, please send them in. It's race season, and we know that there are a lot of people out there training for a lot of races, and maybe for your very first race. So please send them in, and we'll do our best to answer them. So for Eddie McCoy of the Marathon Show, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean of the Mickey Mouse Podcast, this is Mike Scopa saying, we will see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.